Stick a pony in my pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the van. Cause if you want the best, instead you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Cause where it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons or the tides of the sea. But he's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and horses work? La 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 la. La 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 la.
Sorry.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Good evening.
Welcome to the new episode of the Jolly Boys podcast.
First one of 2019.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to
Happy
you all.
Happy New Year, yeah.
Got lots coming up on this show today, haven't we?
What an episode. An absolute cracker.
We've got a special guest who we interviewed.
Should we reveal who that is?
Let's do it.
Drum roll, please. That's a good drum roll, man.
Thanks.
Go on,
we have none other than Andre Bernard, a.k.a. Nervous Neris.
What a coup. What a coup, Rodney.
A genuine coup.
Yeah, and she's a lovely, wasn't she?
She was absolutely blinding. Yeah, and we got some exclusive stories that she's not told anyone before.
Yeah. Even surprised us, some of the stuff she said. It was a really, really amazing interview.
Yeah, it was brilliant. So stay tuned to listen to that a bit later on in the episode.
What episode are we talking about today, boys?
Second time around.
Grafting our way through the first series.
I can't wait to get to the later ones, but this is one of my favourite of the first series.
Actually. Yeah, I enjoy this episode.
I thought you said that about Cash and Curry.
It is one of my favourite ones, eh?
That's one.
No, they're all like my favourites, but I like them all, but this is one of the...
It's only Fools and Horses, they're all brilliant.
It's got a real twist to it, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
One way you really feel Dale is well and truly trapped, isn't he? Wanting to escape that kind of relationship.
Yeah, but also Rodney's no mug. He knows what's going to happen ultimately, and he's going to try and help Dale out.
Mm.
This episode definitely gets you by the short and curlies.
Absolutely.
Also, we do have later on in this episode, we'll have a quiz with one of the listeners. It was quite an entertaining quiz, and we had quite a good bit of banter to and from, didn't we?
Yeah, and this really is a super fan. He knows his knowledge about Only Fools and Horses. I won't reveal how the quiz goes exactly.
Spoiler alert there.
Yeah, but it's
Ed showing his battle scars.
Yeah, he had some good stories to tell as well about a couple of the characters. We're not going to...
I think this is probably the coolest Only Fools and Horses story that I've ever heard, and probably one of the most random, so stick around and make sure... You listen to the quiz, and after the quiz, we have a little chat with Dan. So stay tuned for that. It's very, very, very cool story.
Absolutely. But if you want to get in touch with us and be on the quiz, get in touch at theofapodcast@gmail.com or contact us on Facebook.
You can find us on Facebook by typing in the Jolly Boys Podcast, or you can follow us on Twitter at @ofa_podcast.
Underscore. He's got his underscore right now.
Or if you're an Instagrammer, here we go. Our name is only_fools_
I never get fed up with this.
I do. You can find us on Instagram. We've got some pretty cool pictures on there as well.
The one thing I really enjoy about doing these podcasts is we get lots of lovely feedback and interaction from the Only Fools and Horses community via our Twitter page or our Facebook page. So if any of you guys out there want to get in touch or want to take part in the quiz, just please go. Get in touch with the email Jane provided earlier, or tweet us, or send us a message on our Facebook page, because we'd be more than happy to have you featured on the podcast.
And it is a community, isn't it? It's not a group of fans. It is a community. There's fans all over the world of Only Fools and Horses. So if you're listening from abroad, we'd love to hear if we've
That's
got
your
any...
Point. Where are you listening from?
Yeah.
I'd love to know that, because I can't see where anyone's listening from on the analytics for this podcast.
Well, I did have a guy get in contact with me saying that he was listening to our podcast when he was driving to Vegas.
Get away.
So Vegas. That was quite cool. So
we were in Vegas. We've had a few from Kent.
Yeah, Kent's quite a popular place. So yeah, get in touch if any of you are listening any other outside of the UK.
Can you be a bit more Pacific?
Someone from Walsall as well. Not Warsaw, Walsall.
Okay, well, Birmingham.
Very good.
The Midlands.
I got that one. Thank you. And what episode was that from? Too long. Miami Twice. American Dream.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
So another big...
contact in Walsall.
Another... another big thing that we need to mention is that our next episode, which we're going to be recording, is going to be an exclusive one-off Facebook Live video, so you get a chance to see our...
Well, one-off is if it's a flop. If it's really good, we'll do a couple more.
Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, you'll get to stare at our faces all night, and we'd really love for you guys to watch and tune in and to get involved with what we're talking about, and we'd be more than happy to answer any of your questions and give any of your questions out to any of the listeners. And we'll see how it goes, but we'll give you more information on that a bit closer to the time.
Yeah, we'll have to record that and put it on YouTube as well and see if we get any hits on YouTube. Because obviously we're going to film it.
Yeah, don't worry if you can't make the live stream, because I believe you can always catch up on it at a later date on our Facebook page. And we'll also be recording the podcast as normal, so you'll be able to catch it on your Apple device or Android, Anchor or iTunes.
Yeah.
Or Podbean.
As a side note, if anyone thinks would like to give us feedback on how we can improve or what they like, just let us know, because we're still quite new. We're 6 or 7 podcasts in, aren't we? And we're always looking for, you know, for maybe for new feedback. Features, what we can do differently just to make it a bit of a better experience for you.
Basically, we're not professionals. We're just 4 friends who enjoy talking about only fools and horses to the extent where we ended up buying microphones to record what we talk about. So yeah, like
we
Tom
do
said,
think we've cracked the 2 microphones now. We've got 2 microphones.
Hopefully.
We think they're both working, but a bit of an issue with the host, our hosting site. They're not doing live recording, so we're recording it through a different app.
We had to think on our feet for this episode, so hopefully it sounds good for you guys.
So apologies in advance if not.
Yeah.
Right, should we talk about the episode?
Yes, second time around, let's go.
We're off and running.
Well, we can play it.
Ed's noticed something on the opening credits, but we're not 100% convinced, but what is it, Ed?
Well, in the opening credits of Only Fools and Horses, obviously you've got the stills, you've got like Portobello Road, you've got shots of South London, but there's a shot inside a pub, and it was actually my mother that noticed this and brought it to my attention. It could be Albert Steptoe. There's an old man at the bar, and he's wearing a hat. He's got white hair, and he's got the same sort of stature as Albert Steptoe from
Steptoe. I think he's smaller than that, because that guy looks pretty tall.
Well, he's wearing a hat. Well, he used to be 6'1", but he had a hat.
I don't know. We'll leave it up to the listeners to debate. I've never heard that as an Easter egg or bit of trivia.
Yeah.
I do love the montage shots there.
I do. But it'll be interesting if any other listeners have watched that and thought, oh, is that
in there? Look.
Because obviously Steptoe and Son was an inspiration for John Sullivan to write Only Fools and Horses. So he might have put that in as a little personal memento. Marsh. You don't know. So, it'll be interesting to see if anyone else thinks that.
Well, there's another one of those things with Robbie Williams apparently being in the opening shot of Mother Nature's Son. Robbie Williams with the long hair, but I think it's ruled out.
Yeah.
Right, you know when Rodney's dreaming? He's having a nightmare.
I think we discussed it before, haven't we?
Yeah. Robbie Williams.
Robbie Williams, yeah.
Take that
singer.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Of course, we've spoken about
Raquel
being in the opening episode, potentially, but it isn't. I think that has to be ruled out.
Yeah.
But yeah, nice little spot, Ed, that's true.
Mm.
Can't believe we've wobbled on there. We haven't even spoken about the first scene.
It was actually my mother. Why did I go all posh?
Spiel.
Rodney seems to be quite a good salesman there, doesn't he? He seems to be quite confident. Before, he's just a lookout.
Hurry up, you girls. Get in while the going's good. It's 1 for the price of 2. 1 for the price of 2.
It looks like they're both doing really well. They're shifting lots of gear, but I can't quite work out what it is they're selling. Can you? Do you see what it was?
Tights. Ladies' underwear or something.
Oh, tights. Yeah, I think it could be tights.
And, Rodney's quite... Later on, he's considered the worst, a really bad sort of salesman, but...
Yeah.
Girls left in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Does he say 1 for the price of 2? Quote.
Yes.
1 for the price.
That's
of, yeah.
Yeah. That's he says good. That's not good sales.
No, he says good. We're not here today, gone tomorrow. We're here today, gone this afternoon. Now, come on.
Which is okay for a bit of spiel, isn't it? I suppose.
But to be honest with you, I don't think people listen to market traders, do they? That's the whole point. I think psychology. They say something, and people think they're getting a good deal.
Yeah.
So we've got a fairly intelligent trigger here. First scene inside the Nag's Head.
Yeah.
Although he is seen to look a bit gormless, isn't he?
He looks a bit gormless, but he seems to spot one of Dale's old flames, so he's quite observant.
Trig's got... Oh, it's all about clothes. I was about to say, Trig's got... It looks like a work coat on.
Yeah.
Would you say that's a work coat?
Yeah, it looks like...
But then he's wearing, like, a really woody jumper underneath.
I've just noticed something. I'm pretty sure when Roger Lloyd Pack passed away, someone painted a big wall, a big mural of him on a wall.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
I can't remember where it was.
Well, that was in Bristol, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think there are several.
Tottenham.
I think there's some abroad, but there's one in England. And I'm pretty sure the artist who's painted it has used an image from this episode of him looking like that, because the way he's styled in his hair, I think it must be from this episode where they've got the idea, the inspiration for the mural.
Mm.
Well, he was a Tottenham Hotspur fan, so I think they had plenty around Tottenham and the Bristol, probably. That's where they filmed it.
I think he's even wearing that jacket in the mural.
Yeah.
Joycey there. Our second favourite barman.
how many episodes is Joycey in?
I don't know.
Three or four,
I think.
Is she?
Probably only in the first series. And then each series has got a different barmaid regular, haven't they?
She's quite opinionated, isn't she? She certainly doesn't want Dale to communicate with Pauline.
Leave it out, will you, Dale? You don't want to get yourself involved with her again. Remember what happened last time?
Yeah. Did she ask about me?
Yeah. She seemed very concerned to know how much she was earning.
How the hell do you do?
So Pauline's played by Jill Baker. She's quite a prominent actress. She's in quite a few things, but
is she?
Yeah.
Well, she
in Jonathan Creek.
Is she?
In one of my favourite episodes in Jonathan Creek, actually, as a journalist.
Hello, Pauline.
Down. Oh, I can't believe it. It's so nice to see you again.
Well, it's nice to see you, Pauline. What have you got over your lips there? What's all that?
It's blackcurrant.
You are?
It's on your lips.
Oh, blackcurrant? Oh, yeah, it's probably from my blackcurrant and pernod. Sorry.
I tell you what would be interesting is if they did a follow-up or a prequel to this episode where Dale and Pauline is together the first time.
Yeah.
Because everyone in this episode seems to know exactly what's gone on, so it must have been quite a big thing for Dale.
Someone's online, in the trivia section of a website, you will know, they've said, this is verbatim, this episode is clearly linked to the miracle of Peckham, when Grandad is talking to Rodney about how Delboy used to donate to the church roof fund. John Sullivan went and wrote a whole episode based on the same idea 5 years later.
Oh. Didn't know that.
I don't know if that's verified or not.
Was it IMDb?
Also, it's the first time Dale's seen fly pitching. We're still on series one, aren't we? So it's the first for a lot of things.
So it's the only episode that I noticed where you can see the toilet doors for the men's and the ladies in the background of the Nag's Head. I've never really noticed that before.
Cutting edge.
Ed's back to the head.
Yeah. It's all about the toilets.
We need to have a special section for this podcast.
Nags Head toilets.
Ed's observation of the night. So in this scene where Dale approaches Rodney, you see Dale looking nervous, and he's supposed to be quite confident around ladies, isn't he? So it's the first time we've seen Dale around women, and he makes out that he's very confident. He seems to have the gift of the gab, but he's looking quite nervous as he approaches Pauline, which is quite interesting to see in this.
Well, Pauline knows what she's doing, doesn't she? She's completely got him wrapped around her little finger.
I think we've all got a mate whose girlfriend we don't really like, so we know exactly how Rodney and everyone else in the Nag's Head feel, I think.
I always remember that this scene, Pauline's got a bit of lipstick or red wine mark.
Blackcurrant.
Really annoyed me. Blackcurrant.
Yes. Blackcurrant and Pernod. Next.
That used to annoy you?
I don't know why it annoyed me. It's just there, isn't it?
Dale seems to be so besotted with her straight away. Despite all this stuff she's saying about all of her previous husbands dying, you probably think, oh, hang on a minute, I'm out of here.
He clearly was besotted with her because, yeah, she's talking about all the, you know, her ex-husbands and how they, you know, kicked the bucket, and he's still...
But they must have been kids when they split up, because she left him because the bloke had a quicker Vespa.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
That one, yeah.
I thought you did, Ed.
This episode, I think John Sullivan may have written in Dale sort of falling in love easily and getting engaged easily.
He wears his heart in his Wranglers.
Because this is the first time you hear of him always getting engaged and stuff, so in future episodes, he meets Heather, for example, Diamonds Are Heather, engaged almost straight away. So
he's been engaged more times than the switchboard.
The thing is, the only person he doesn't really get engaged to is
his significant other.
Well, no, he does. He initiates it in the episode when they break up, when she breaks up with him.
Did they actually get engaged though?
I think she was married, wasn't she? So she had, that was the whole Class of 62 thing.
No, that's what
and
I mean. In the whole
episode,
thing.
In Fatal Extraction. No, it wasn't Fatal Extraction. God, that's annoying. But no, he does initiate it. He'll go, we'll get itched. She's like, are you going to ask me? And he asks her.
Yeah, but they, up until 2003.
No, they weren't.
They weren't engaged.
I don't think they were officially engaged, no.
So my point stands.
No, because in Fatal Extraction, that's a Christmas episode. They have a Barney, well, a long-running Barney, where he's getting in late trying to earn some money at the casino. They break up. He goes to the dentist, meets, what's her name? I can't remember. And then, of course, he breaks it off, and then he gets back together with Raquel, and he's in the pub trying to make up for over the phone.
It's a long point about not being engaged.
Well, I'm just saying that he did try to initiate it. Wish I could remember a name now. So, stuck at the back of me.
So we're all a year older now. anywho.
So bottom line.
So are they engaged?
Tom,
no, they're not officially engaged.
Moving on. Next. Swiftly. Is this the first scene where we can see Dale's D chain, his piece of jewellery that he's wearing?
Bailey, you're always talking about his clothes.
I don't know, mate.
I don't think so.
It's an accessory.
I
think we see that in the second episode.
Yeah, it's D for Dale, isn't it?
Where's my port stretchings?
So this is a hilarious. This is one of the most funniest parts of this episode, I think, where Dale and Paulina sat down quietly flirting. All of a sudden, Rodney comes up behind them saying, "Where's my port scratchings?"
Yeah,
Dale and Paulina going in for the kiss, and then along comes Rodney to save him.
Well, I mean, you know, well, there was one,
but you don't see her.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm looking at her now. Where's my
Paul Scratchies? Rodney is looking at Pauline like he wants her dead.
Yeah.
He's got such a good facial actor, though, isn't he? Is that a word?
He can do a really good stern.
Very expressive.
Yeah, he can do a good stern look, or he can do, obviously, a silly look. So, yeah, very. A bit like Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
His face is a bit like plasticine.
Mm.
You can.
When I first watched this episode, I do remember feeling genuinely frightened for Dale, because obviously we're going to get to it eventually, but when they escape the flat in fear of, you know, getting food poisoning or whatever, when they return to the flat, I'm looking forward to speaking about that scene, because I was like, what's she going to do? What's she going to do? And we obviously find out. God, I've skipped forward there.
That drink he's drinking, Pernod and blackcurrant, it looks like it's curdled in the glass, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's horrible.
It's like it's a...
I thought it's a tomato juice.
No. Definitely blackcurrant. And Pernod.
Imagine that would curdle, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be horrible. So Dale's showing his sensitive side and showing a bit of vulnerability towards Rodney, but Rodney's not having any of it.
Do you think what made him really fall for Pauline was blonde hair, quite a confident woman, knew how to play Dale, and he's usually... That's not usually his type, is it?
Yeah, but Dale can be himself. Like, with other... birds, he's had to try and be somebody else. Mm. That he can be himself around Pauline. She already knows him inside and out.
True. She's known him since he was a teenager.
She's quite similar to that Miranda Davenport.
Mm.
She might have to looks.
She might have taken Dale's virginity, for all we know. It might be his first girlfriend.
It's quite a strange thing to say.
I'm just trying
Tom, get out.
I just think he's so, like, you know, giggly, not giggly around her, but he's very sort of...
smitten.
Yeah.
Smitten kid.
Might trigger some happy memories.
It depends how old they were when they got together, but I got the impression that
12.
Dale was like quite a young lad when he...
I don't know, I thought Junie. I always thought Junie was Del Boy's childish...
We were only
child
playing
sweetheart.
Games.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point. Yeah.
He's always, had a soft spot for her.
But...
Some Lord of the Shrippogram.
Grandad's got the two tellies on.
Time moved in here. All we ever seem to do of an evening, sit here watching them rotten televisions. And that's another thing.
Why does he watch two televisions?
Because the other one's been mended.
You mean he normally watches three?
Yeah.
He's going senile.
Yeah.
What's he reading there, look, the lady?
I don't know.
I don't think it's one of his adult art magazines. It looks like a countryside magazine.
When we were...
Should I Google full of magazines?
When we were when we're reviewing these episodes, I think it's quite good. We can actually, because we've seen a thousand times. I enjoy looking in the background to see what dodgy stock they got lying around. Just trying to, they got like a stew maker there.
Did you notice that the two televisions that Granddad's watching aren't actually on TV stands?
On a load of books or something.
Yeah, they're on stock. They're both rested on stock.
You don't often see that corner of the flat, do you?
No.
I think it's only Rock and Roll and this. I think
to Highland Back.
That's
an incredible view.
Yeah, it's a very different.
Now that is going to be a peachy episode to talk about.
Yeah.
When we get to those specials, that's not that. Well, that's a few series away, isn't it?
Well, maybe we could for Easter, like for Christmas, we obviously did a special. We did Chain Gang. Maybe for Easter, we could get the
our
listeners to vote for what other special episode we could do.
Any seasonal time of the year, when it gets to Halloween, we've definitely got to do Friday the 14th. Although by then we might have gone past that series.
See, that is a weird... that magazine that... sorry, I've been silent, must have been Googling, but that is actually a real magazine called The Lady.
What are you Googling on there, James?
Well, it's a magazine called The Lady. Lady magazine that Rodney was reading as he's laid on the sofa. But I think that must be... What's her name, Pauline?
Pauline Harris.
No, maybe not, because she hasn't moved in yet, has she, at this point? Mm. We're watching. But it's basically a thought-provoking content aims to stimulate the reader, while our fashion prices, pieces and lifestyle articles are there to ensure that ladies are able to relax while flicking through our pages.
It doesn't sound like something Rodney would normally read.
It's normally Razzle. Something that would be in the flat. But it is the magazine.
That scene where Dale walks in drunk, it really reminds me of... I can't think of the name of the episode now, with Jumbo Mills.
Oh yeah.
What is it called?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Yes. I've not seen that episode for a long time, but yeah, David Jason plays a really convincing drunk Dale, doesn't he?
He's good at being drunk, yeah. I think a lot of his stage work before TV was... he was good at that kind of role, clowning around.
He's always been a little drunk.
Yeah.
Is this the episode, Dale, we kind of learn that Dale isn't really on... exist? Because he tries to get his life insurance, but he has to register himself. Yeah. In the very first episode, they didn't pay any tax, national insurance, they didn't claim social security or anything.
The government haven't got any official documents.
Yeah, and
the government don't give him nothing, so we don't give the government nothing.
So he's trying to, she makes him get life insurance, doesn't she? But you have to have...
Because I can't do that, then they'll know I'm alive.
Exactly, yeah. So we do learn that he really is, like, hiding in plain sight, yeah.
So Dale would definitely be a Labour supporter, I think.
I think he'll be paying his rent, cash in hand.
The question is, would Dell have voted to stay in the European Union?
Oh, let's not have that conversation.
We'll put it out on a Twitter poll.
Definitely not. I don't think so.
I'm sure you don't want to hear about Brexit, listeners.
Yeah, let's have a Only Fools and Horses Brexit debate.
Yeah, Brexit edition.
I tell you what, the recent Fools and Horses news is the Harlech Tower being demolished soon. That's yeah. Ahead. And I thought that was old news. I thought that happened years ago. On a very relatively popular fan site, I'm not going to say, I read that article years ago. And I went back to it, and there's an article about in the last 10 years that one of the tower in Acton has been demolished for, you know, commercial property. When I reread the article, it did say it was rumoured to be.
Well, we best go and pay it one last visit before it gets knocked down.
And I thought, hang on, was there two towers? Because I know there's White Lady's House in Bristol, it's obviously where they film from 89 onwards, but the London Towers, the tower, that's still, up until now, that still exists.
Tom, when you say the tower, are you referring to what we see
the flats
on the intro?
The house. Yeah, what they used as external shots for...
So are you saying they used two different locations for the external shots?
Well, I thought that's what... When that news was, that came out in the last couple of weeks, I thought... Bit of deja vu, because I thought that had been demolished years ago.
Yeah, because I thought they were in Acton.
Well, the article is Acton...
No.
Harlech, they've... The article says Harlech Tower in Acton, Ed. Ed, you know London better than I. It's Harlech Tower in Acton.
I have no idea.
It's the same place, isn't it? Okay, so is there somewhere else in London that was filmed? I don't know. I don't think so.
But is Raquel engaged to him?
It's Harlech Tower and there's White Lady's House in Bristol. That's just two. So,
personally, I call it Zimbabwe House.
No, but it really played on, like, off the record. I thought, I've heard this. I thought, is this another place that's demolished?
For the sake of the episodes, I wonder why John Sullivan went for Nelson Mandela House and over the road is Zimbabwe House. So you got South Africa and then obviously Zimbabwe. I wondered why he went.
He's probably paying homage to Nelson Mandela, but I don't know why Zimbabwe.
Yeah. But it's interesting that it's in a similar area. Nelson Mandela.
Anyway, so. Yeah.
We digress.
I tell you what might be interesting, if any of the fans out there who do want to visit the flats in Bristol before they get demolished, if they haven't been demolished already, I can tweet a link with a Google map so you can see exactly where it is. So if you want to make a trip there and get one last photo before it goes down, I can do it for you.
Well, any Bristol City Football Club fans, you'll see the towers from, if you've seen tower, the flats from where you're sitting in the stadium probably.
Yeah.
Went to a convention, didn't we, in 2009?
Yeah.
And you have a good little view, even in the garages where they park the van.
I think we should all go. We should all make a day trip out of it and and get some pictures outside before it gets demolished.
Yeah, we'd regret it if we don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So now, going back to the episode, we've got a scene of Pauline sat in the flat with her feet up on the sofa, filing her nails, looking very at home.
Yeah. Rodney's also got his feet up, and Pauline has said... It's a great scene. I just cleaned that table a few minutes ago and he says, good, it won't make my plimsolls dirty then, will it?
What's her game though, Pauline? Does she really like Dale or she just want a free house to live in?
She wants the money.
Yeah.
But does she actually want the money?
But how much money can you get? I mean, Dale...
Well, life insurance.
I know, but it depends how much... Well, yeah.
Or maybe she thinks Dale... is more successful than he actually is because of his image, like probably a lot of people who don't really know him that well.
Cash on the hip.
Exactly, so maybe she thinks that he's worth more than he actually is.
Maybe she's got a genuine love for him because obviously the whole idea that she murdered her ex-husband's was, while unfortunate, turns out that it was actually a coincidence because they set the trigger up, but...
She does push maybe him to get that life insurance though, like a little bit too much, I think. It's one to debate, isn't it? Mm. She's by fluke in the area after all these years. A bit like when Slater returns in Class 62, he's in the area by coincidence just to set up a reunion. I think it's her end game, isn't it? Just the life insurance side of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm unconvinced. I think that she might. I think there might be a bit of love there between them.
I think it's more lust. What's this, Love Island?
I think she's an instant dislikable person by just seeing how uncomfortable she's making Rodney and Grandad feel in their own home. I mean, can you imagine that? It might be horrible.
But I still think that Dale's actually got more to win.
Fuck it out.
Claim, win.
Dale's got more to win by... get in with her because she's got two life insurance.
She's got a bit of money, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got the money. He hasn't.
Alright. But he knows deep down inside he's the husband number three to be. Crockett.
And if you look here at this scene, that painting isn't the elephant painting. They've got something different there.
I just spotted that. I don't think I truly...
What about the toilet door, though? Is that in the same place?
So in the scene where you normally recognise a portrait of an elephant, they've replaced it. Well, they haven't replaced it. It's before that arrived, and they've got a scenic landscape of a bridge.
Unless I'm very much mistaken, that elephant portrait was originally painted by David Attenborough.
I don't think so.
I think it was.
A big claim.
Let me have a look.
David Attenborough isn't an artist. He's a naturist.
Have a look. He's not a naturist. I think you find, but I think he does do a bit of painting.
No, that definitely wasn't things. That definitely wasn't painted by him. I'm going to let you know who's painted by now.
It's definite, is it?
Oh. Yeah, because I found a print of that frame print in an antique shop in the town where I live.
I found, originally, I remember I was a youngish child and I went to a shop with my father and I remember him telling me.
I reckon he's been telling you Porky Pies.
This is the second time Ronnie's tried to leave home. First time in Big Brother. This time he is kind of, it's more of a walkout, isn't it?
Yeah.
In protest. And doing the Nazi salute just to indicate how much of she's sort of taking charge in their flat.
He is an artist.
Where have they gone though? Rodney and Grandad, where have they stayed?
David Shepherd, I believe, is the artist who painted the elephant.
David Shepherd does sound like Attenborough. Got the David bit right.
That's half right.
Yeah, it's quite easy to get them confused. David Attenborough and David Shepherd do.
Boys, I just asked a question there.
Sorry, I was trying to.
Rodney and Grandad are staging sort of a walkout. Where are they going to stay? They haven't got.
Well, are they Rosie's?
Huh?
Aren't they Roses?
Oh, yeah.
That's where they go.
Take that bit out. Don't add that in.
Where are they
going to
go?
Well,
aren't they Roses?
Yes. Dell's wearing one of his exotic dressing gowns in this episode. Yeah. He's got quite a few, hasn't he, throughout the series of Only Fools and Horses.
Do you reckon she's dressing him?
You never know. He's wearing a black silk, looks like a Japanese robe.
Yeah. It's quite mellow for Dell, that, isn't it? Normally he's got the bright green.
Yeah, it's not very garish. It's quite fashionable for once.
Just to be shallow for a moment, say what I like about Pauline. She's quite an attractive lady.
Stains, perfume, garden.
That's a short robe, isn't it?
That's her robe, obviously.
Yeah.
And Dell's wearing little pink fluffy slippers.
This scene's going on and on, isn't it?
Well, it makes up about a third of the episode, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we've just reached the part of the episode where Dell is on the phone to Trigger, and Trigger says that he knows something about Pauline, but he's saying he doesn't want to say it, he doesn't want to upset Dell, and Dell was just saying, just come on, Trigger, just tell me what it is.
I won't tell you to keep your nose out.
Do you know what he had the audacity to say? He phoned me up to say that he heard last night that the police had investigated Bobby Finch's death. Apparently, he died of food poisoning.
Food poisoning? Mm. Your breakfast getting cold, Dell, bro.
I just can't stop looking at that flat. I just look around all the decor.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because once you've seen the episode, you understand that Rodney is in on the trick with Trigger. But it's interesting watching Rodney's reaction when he gets off the phone from Trigger.
No calories in weed killer.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite quotes that is from this episode.
I got one of my favourite moments from this. The most Dell moment ever. It's not right now, but later on.
When he goes to sweep the flat. And then Dell goes, right, I'll take the living room.
You take the kitchen. You take the bedroom. Go on, my son, go on! And he pushes them all in, shuts the door.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've all got to run through the living room in the first place to check their bit.
That reminds me of that scene later on with Buster Merrifield where he's holding onto the door and the bed trying to close it and open it.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
Where are you going to go anyway?
Auntie Rose's in Clacton.
Auntie Rose's in Clacton?
Yeah, Grandad says we can go there any time.
Oh, did he? Oh, did he? Well, you better go there now then, anyway. Go on. Appear here. Get on your bike. Go on. Before Pauline comes back with me deadly nightshade. Rodney. No. Come on. Don't believe all that rubbish about food poisoning, do you?
Of course not. Eat your mushrooms, Dell.
Rodney!
We're not coming back, Dell.
No, hang about, I'm coming with you!
If any of you listeners rate Series 1 as your favourite, can you let us know, not just to say it's your favourite, but explain why? And I'm genuinely interested, because I don't know if many would count Series 1 as their favourite.
No.
I mean,
we should have a call, we should have a phone in, shouldn't we, on it?
I just think there's definitely a couple of good episodes. I still say Cash and Carry is my favourite from Series 1.
I really like Series 1.
I like Slave Buster Chingford as well. But it's just the first series of any comedy. It's always a little bit flat in places. Mm. When you watch it back, it's obviously much, it gets funnier.
So we come to the part now where they've all left the flat and decided that Pauline is a murderer after all.
Del's full of confidence walking up to the flat, or the house rather, that Auntie Rose lives at, and he introduces himself like he saw her last week.
Kisses her on the cheek.
And bless her, she's so nice. She just welcomes them all in first and then asks questions.
Could have been anyone answered that door.
Very trusting, that lady. Mm.
Grandad doesn't even acknowledge her, he just comes in and makes himself comfortable.
By a tan channel, they have a racing on the other side.
Yeah.
Although I have to say that it does look like she's lived there her whole life.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like she's moved in there in the last, what would have been,
30
years. I like
that
years.
Kind of old, that just, it's very authentic. Whoever designs these sets, it's believable, isn't it? That's a, well, it could be someone's house, but
yeah.
That's clearly
that's
a set.
It's a very 19,
I don't think
art
this.
Deco.
I don't think this is a studio, this particular scene. I reckon this was in somebody's bungalow or house.
You think?
Because I don't think it was done in front of a live audience. It's just, I don't know, it's too good.
I just find that with series one and probably series two, we're going to comment a lot about the decor and interior design and what they're wearing. Probably to compensate, is there not a lot going on, is there?
Not an awful lot
there's
of dialogue.
Funny one-liners.
But they are forming the characters.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
And it's quite interesting to pick up those early little signs of the characters developing.
It must have been so funny that when the people viewing this for the first time heard the line from the lady saying, "Who are you?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?" Is it me, or were older people a lot more naive then than what they are now?
Probably.
What I like about this episode is that he talks about his mum, Del Boy.
Yeah.
Says, "Oh, you remember Joni?" And he doesn't really talk about her before, especially her name. Is this the first episode that we know that his mother is called Joni?
Do you mind if I ask you something?
Well, of course not. Mener Detra. No, far away.
Who are you?
I think
possibly.
It might be. I think it is.
I mean, he definitely does talk about his mum a lot just to, you know, put the guilt trip on Rodney.
Yeah.
You know, the famous deathbed lines, but...
So. I think he plans to see it in this episode, doesn't he? Because I know in As One Door Closes, there's a lot of mention of his mum, hence why, hence him hunting around the graveyard for the butterfly.
1947.
So they've come to the realisation that they've got no idea who this woman is, and the woman in the house has no idea who they are.
They think they can get away with it, though.
Now, someone's put an observation online for this episode to say when Del, Grandad and Rodney return to the flat, after staying with Auntie, we have to look out for this in a minute. They rush in, and whilst Grandad is checking the kitchen, you can clearly see Leonard Pierce standing by the door waiting for his cue. Quite a few people put that online, so...
Oh, really?
Not sure I've noticed that before, so... We'll
I haven't. Let's keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. And in some old sitcoms, I say, you know, 80s and earlier, and in Fawlty Towers I've seen this, James, you might have seen this, sometimes you see the old-fashioned microphone right at
the
top of the screen.
Oh, it happens a lot in
just these older BBC
Dad's movies. Army, actually.
Yeah.
You could see it quite often in that.
These days, the microphones are a lot more powerful, more sensitive, and they can be much further away. But the old-fashioned mics, literally the head
just
mic you can see.
A foot over the head, isn't it?
Changing the subject a bit, going back to Leonard Pierce, he and Buster Merrifield are two of the only actors, I think, out there that I'd love to see more footage of.
Oh, yeah.
Interviews and them just being themselves because... Mm. You know, sadly, they have both passed away now, but for me, I'm 33, and for me, they only existed as the characters in this. I can't imagine them having personal lives, walking out in the street with their families. So I know that there is a video of Buster Merrifield on, was it Family Fortunes,
yeah,
I think, which is on YouTube, where you hear him talk, and it is so surprising how different he sounds. Obviously, he is an actor, but he
just...
Got
a link on our Facebook page.
And a television awards ceremony, there's a couple of those.
Yeah,
there.
But he doesn't say very much in that. But if any of you fans out there have any videos or know of any videos, feel free to send them our way. And I did see on the Only Fools and Horses Appreciation Facebook page... A couple of weeks ago, there was a lady on there. She must have been probably early 60s. Don't quote me on that, possibly early 60s. And she knew Buster Merrifield really well.
Yeah,
and she was posting lots of photographs of him and telling all the fan stories, which was really, really amazing to have someone like that. And I'd love to have her on our podcast. I think that'd be a really incredible thing to do.
That's a really good shout. We need to get her. If you can hear a lovely little dog in the background, that's just dear Albert.
Yeah, that's my uncle Albert.
I think that's a really good call. We can get her on.
Yeah,
I see
I've got a mind who she is.
That'd be amazing.
But seriously, guys, if you've got any videos or any unseen interviews or rare interviews, send them our way. We are aware that Buster Merrifield did the Monster Munch advert.
Yeah, it was Jurassic World, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Jurassic Park, the Lost World.
And also, there's an advert of him mowing the lawn for football.
Bournemouth. And he and Anna Pierce appeared in a
such a drama.
But anyway, guys, we'll post it on our social media for you. But if there's anything else out there that you've seen that we haven't seen, please send it our way because we'd all really, really love to see it.
I'm sure the BBC have got lots of archive footage of.
Why won't they give it to us, Ed? It's so frustrating. I honestly, I don't know what. I'd love to have Perry. For those of you who don't know who Perry is, Perry is the Only Fools and Horses guru, basically. He's in charge of the conventions. And I'm sure a few of you have probably seen him on several documentaries that he's done with David Jason and Only Fools and Horses, but I'd love to have him on our podcast just to have a chat with him to find out, number one, are we going to get Only Fools and Horses complete box set on Blu-ray? And number two, is there any chance that any of us fans or any of the Only Fools and Horses community can see some outtakes?
Yeah. Well, there
or
were
deleted scenes.
There were some, weren't there, in the Fools and Horses documentary went out last year.
Yeah, that was really, really good to see, but it's not enough.
It's a tease. I used to assume that Sullivan was such a perfectionist, he didn't want that sort of thing going out on the extras on videos.
Well, breaking news, guys, I've contacted Perry and I've asked him to come on the podcast, so I'm just waiting for him to respond to me now.
Well, hopefully he does, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Come on, Perry, you can do it. We'd really, really love to have you.
He's the man
to
speak
to. And we've got lots of interesting questions to ask you, but mainly, when can we have all the outtakes? Going back to the episode now, we're just at the scene where Tom mentioned, where you can see Leonard Pierce waiting for his cue. So let's see if we can see it.
Must remember to cut that.
That's why he's
placing it.
Put that back, that's hilarious.
He's so jumpy.
He's just stood there. He's not in the kitchen.
So where's his cue from Leonard Pierce?
Two shots. How did you not see that? Rewind it. Is it when he bursts into the flat for the first time? When they just go, yeah. Okay. So is it when he bursts into the flat for the first time? When they just go, yeah. Okay. Right, you have to go right back there. Oh yeah. And then again when it pans to the left. That's like the bookie man. That's my granddad. Yeah.
Candyman. That means he went in there to look for it like this. For like 30 seconds.
It's like a massive kitchen.
Yeah.
Not in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I've not ever noticed that before. So yeah, for people who don't know, we are watching this episode and so you can see what we're talking about.
Looking for bomb.
Yeah.
Where would she find a bomb?
I trust you that no good lying two-faced creepo.
There's a good... I don't know if anyone goes on Dub Smash. I don't know if we should cut that out or what. I don't know. But there's some really good Only Fools and Horses quotes you can do on Dub Smash. And that's
one of them. We've had good fun with that, haven't we?
Yeah. Where it's addressed to that two-faced, no good, nothing creepo. Oh, that'll be for me, Rodney.
Sorry, I'm trying to shut the dog up a minute.
Tyson!
Albert! No.
Quite a clever little prank she's played on them by racking up a huge telephone bill, something Dale can't get off. You've got to pay your telephone bill, haven't you?
That would have been really, really expensive back then. Really expensive.
Quid a minute. But, you know, that's whatever it was.
I remember, I think I called the talking clock once when I was a kid, when you first realised you could do it, and my dad went ballistic at me.
I've done it a few times as well. Yeah.
I don't know how much it cost back in the early 90s, but it was, I reckon it was over £1 easily.
Well, this is the 80s, isn't it? It might even be even more.
It was in America. God, yeah.
Yeah.
Cost an absolute fortune.
That's quite a horrible, nasty thing to do, though, isn't it?
Spiteful.
Yeah.
Well, hit him where it hurts, isn't it?
Money. The pocket.
Yeah. A pateau.
He doesn't seem too bothered, though, does he?
She's got him like that.
He does seem bothered, because they tell him to...
Look at this girl, the way she spells. Look at that, pateau.
Pateau, it's Peter, it's please turn over.
I know what... I know what please turn over means, don't I, PTO? I'm not...
Pateau.
Illiterate and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's someone on the phone. It's Tim.
Tim who?
Tim the talking clock.
Here. Oh, the cow. She only found the talking clock before she left. And this... Cool, Bennett, this is dated 4 days ago.
I don't want to worry you, Dill, but this Tim's got a funny accent.
She only phoned a talking clock in America.
That's it. You're connected to America? It's amazing, isn't it? Hello!
Hang it up!
But I think he's more relieved to find that she's not in the flat.
Yeah,
true.
I've got a funny accent, Del.
88 hours.
Yeah. Imagine what we have in our life. We go,
it's strange, isn't it? It's like in the office, and the accurate time is.
Yeah.
So has anyone got the right time?
Well, if it was £1 a minute, 4 days, it's like close to £90, isn't it?
A bit more than that, son. That's what? 90 minutes.
£88 a minute. Nice thing, £1 an hour.
Pound a
take
minute.
That out. So much you got to take out.
Tom has got a GC in mass, I promise.
So 90 minutes is 3 days. I watched football.
Hang on, I'm going to do some maths.
Wednesday.
I'm
going to
remath that.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to be joined by Andre Bernard, a.k.a. Nervous Neris. Hello. Good evening, Andre. How are you? Happy New Year to you.
I'm great. Thank you very much for asking.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's really, really kind of you to give up your Sunday evening.
Not a problem. I'm honoured to be asked.
Okay, so we've got some questions for you.
Well, the first question that's on the tip of all of our tongues, I think, is how did you come to get the part of Nervous Neris and be part of the Only Fools and Horses cast?
It's very interesting and kind of random, because I was very young, and it was actually my first kind of what we term big TV job. And it just involved another audition going to BBC TV Centre, as it was then, in Wood Lane, and meeting John Sullivan and the team and everything. And funnily enough, I was actually reading for Gwyneth Strong's part.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that was the script that I went in and read. And John Sullivan was so sweet, he looked at me and he went, "Do you know what, love? You're not right for that, but I've got something absolutely cracking. Hang on a minute." And he literally went into his briefcase and he pulled out this script and he said, "Do you have to go anywhere?" I was like, "No, that's fine. Pop out, get a cup of tea and read this through." And literally, I was put in another little office and there was this part, Nervous Neris. I sat there for half an hour, looked at it, came back in, read the part. They went, "Brilliant." And that was it. It was all in one day.
Is that well known, then, that bit of trivia? Because I've never heard that before. But you
No, it's not. That's a special one for you guys.
That's so exclusive for the podcast.
Exclusive, thank you.
That's really interesting. Hi, Andre. I'm Bailey. Thank you so much for giving up your time. So the next question is, we all know you as Nervous Neris and you're a real life action hero with the stunts which were involved in the episode Dates. How dangerous was it, or was it just clever editing?
It was clever editing. What it actually involved, from our point of view, as I'm sure you guys know, all of that location stuff was shot in Bristol.
Yeah. Yep. Close
so
to
we'd
us.
Be doing, yeah, we'd be doing all of the rehearsals in London at the action rehearsal studios. That don't actually exist anymore. I think they've become luxury flats.
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah. And then all the location stuff was shot before up in Bristol. And that particular scene and most of those driving scenes in the car, we were on a low loader.
Okay.
Would you guys know what that is?
It's
like a low
low truck,
with the three-wheel van on the back.
So
we were driving around for hours around these Bristol streets doing various scenes. And causing quite a bit of attention, as I'm sure you can imagine. So as we would start, early in the morning, there'd be no one out on the streets, and word spread pretty quickly, and this is, pre-mobile phones and Twitter and everything, but just by word of mouth, people started turning up and trying to get into shots.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I would have been one of those people trying to get into shots.
Yeah. Me too, probably.
Yeah. So it was all kind of around what were pretty quiet residential streets in Bristol. The actual, the shot that I'm sure you're thinking of, where the three-wheel van leads the road.
That's the one.
Yeah, okay, they were stunt doubles. So that one shot.
I would have lied and said that was you in the car.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think it was more to do with insurance for Nick.
Yeah, of course,
But literally just that one shot, everything else we were doing. But that one shot, and I think it was more to do with the stability of the car.
Right.
Because obviously,
Yeah, yeah.
Land wonky, you could have two injured actors. So that was stunt doubles, but the rest of it was us in the car, but we were on the back of a low loader.
Fantastic. And the next question is, have you got any other inside information about your experiences working on the show that fans out there might not know about?
I'm sure your fans probably know more about this show than I do. I mean, from my point of view, it was possibly still one of the most exciting jobs I've ever done because it was so early in my career. So yeah. The idea of turning up at those rehearsal studios in East Acton, where you had the two Ronnies on the top floor, various game shows, like each floor had a different production going on.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, the half floor where we were. And it was like kids at playtime. John Sullivan was always the first one in and always seemed to be the last one to go and laughed the whole time.
Yeah,
there
really.
There was just laughter the whole time. So the things, just sitting there and watching David Jason, you know, John Challis, who to this day I adore, and was hilarious, just rehearsing and trying the gags and going over and over and over. And John Sullivan just laughing the whole time. Hugely, hugely fun experience. And then that's the real thing where at lunchtime you'd all go up to the canteen, which at that point was kind of on the top floor.
Yeah.
And there would be the great and the good from those halcyon days of the BBC in a queue at the canteen. Mm. So you'd get, everybody from Ronnie Barker, Bruce Forsyth, whatever drama was in there, just sort of in a queue for your beef stew or whatever. It was kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
And of course I thought, oh gosh, all TV jobs are like this.
Yeah.
They weren't.
No.
See, that sounds like a really amazing time.
Did you ever think that 30 years later you'd still get asked about it and still be going to conventions and have Wallies like us call you up?
That's actually the incredibly cool thing, to be part of something that was such a joy for me at the time, but now has, it seems to be, it's not just had one rebirth, it's had so many rebirths now. The fact that now people are showing their grandkids this show, and the beautiful thing about Netflix and streaming services and everything, that everybody can see it.
Yeah.
It's got a whole new audience, but it keeps on getting one.
That's right.
So it has this life that kind of goes beyond it. As I said, from my point of view, I just got this great job at the BBC.
Yeah.
That I was hugely excited about, and I was learning the ropes, and I was fortunate enough to learn it from some pretty darn talented guys, which was amazing.
I have to ask, although it's 30 years ago, do you often get stopped and people ask you, are you nervous, Neris? Because we have to say, you haven't aged in that 30 years from our perspective.
I think, funnily enough, it's that thing of, I think it's more to do with the voice. Because when everybody seems to know Nervous Neris, which is just brilliant. But the minute that I would say, oh, it's a bit smelly.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
You've not lost it. You've still got it.
I wonder what she would be doing now. What do you think?
I don't care.
I wonder if she's running that cast that her mum worked in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I'd like to think she's still around.
It would be nice to think.
Do you remember your character's surname on the show? Because it is mentioned.
Hughes.
Sorry?
Was it Hughes?
It wasn't Hughes, Ed, you know.
What? I think, because when Rodney leaves the calf and your mother, so to speak, challenges him, I'm sure he says, oh, hi, Mrs. Sampson. Sorry about that.
I would never have known that.
Well, okay. Something you every day listen to this podcast.
I'm leaving with something. That's brilliant.
Mm. Neris Sampson, there we are.
That's so funny. I can tell you one more funny little thing.
Go for it, please.
Which is going back to the rehearsals. Action. You must know that David Jason is a motorbike freak. I mean, absolutely loves his. Did you know that?
I didn't personally know. Did you know that?
Yeah, he did. He really was into Nortons and like really.
Oh, wow. Bikes. Okay.
And at that point, I had a provisional motorbike license. So I would actually bike to rehearsals. So I was that person. Yeah. And he actually let me drive his bike around the car park.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Because I think at that point I was possibly the only actress in British Equity who drove.
That is a really cool story to have.
Yeah.
I think he found it quite cool.
That's
amazing.
In the episode Sickness and Wealth, obviously there's the scene where they're holding a seance.
Yes.
And obviously you famously come in and shout, Lager's off!
Yeah.
Were you behind that door giggling, listening to that scene and just...
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, completely. One of the hardest things on that show, remembering that this is going back to the times when you would record in front of a live audience as live.
Yeah.
So you do your pre-records, you'd rehearse all week, you go in and, so, you know, rehearsals Monday to Thursday, go into BBC Centre on Friday, and then I think we had the sachet off, and then the studio audience came in on the Sunday. And one of the biggest problems for everybody was the fact that the audience were genuinely uproariously laughing, as were we, off camera. And one of the things that, I mean, John Challis was always trying to catch my eye and make me giggle. So I would be that person kind of standing looking at my shoes, trying not to laugh.
Don't make eye contact. Yeah,
it was I'm smiling relaying this to you. It genuinely is such a lovely time to think back on. How lucky was I?
I mean, Series 6 is one of the best series, I think, for me.
Yeah, I think you came in at
a great time.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly gets repeated a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's certainly one of the most repeated series from what I can gather. Mm. I'm just proud to have been part of it.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of a wonderful sort of informal club of actors who've done it. Mm. It's like having your Blue Peter badge for British comedy or something, you know.
Yeah.
The little connections on Twitter and whatever. But it's terribly lovely to have been part of something that became... that was at the time so brilliant and has become so loved.
Yeah, we talked to Daniel Hill a few weeks ago and he says the same, you know, just have even like a relatively small role in it, but you still are sort of part of the family, aren't you? And...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's something that doesn't happen very often.
No.
And especially in this day and age, that's the irony, because there's so much content out there now.
Yeah.
But that's something, as you said, that is 30 years old, is arguably sometimes getting more viewing figures than it did at the time.
Yeah.
Even though I think the Christmas special that I was in, I think it got more viewers than the Queen's Speech.
Really?
Was something.
That's important.
I don't know how truthful that is, but...
Well, it's probably, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
We believe you.
Yeah, it was something like 26 point something million.
That's amazing.
Who was the last...
I know.
Who was the last person you kept in touch with from the show?
Probably the last person I had any contact with was John Challis.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the last person.
And we have to tell you, we put it out to our fans on social media and we asked them to vote for their favourite barmaid of Only Fools and Horses. And we had over 400 votes and we have to tell you, you ran away with it. You had 67% of the votes.
Oh my goodness me!
So you are officially...
Oh, thank you so much.
You are officially the fan's favourite.
I feel like I'd like to put that on my CV or something.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think you should. Absolutely.
Well, thank you to the people who took the time to vote. How brilliant of you.
Thank you. And thank you so much once again for joining us
thank
this
you
evening.
Very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for your
it's
time.
It's a pleasure talking to you guys and whatever time this goes out, but a happy new year to everybody. Oh,
thank you very
thank
much,
you,
Andre.
Very lovely.
All the best.
All the best for 2019. Thank you.
And you. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Eyes down for a full house somewhere. Off and running.
Hello, Dan. It's James here from the Jolly Boys podcast. How you
Hello,
doing?
Hello, mate.
You all right?
Yeah, good. You?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Hi, Dan.
I got Tom here, Ed and Bailey.
Hi, Dan.
How you doing, James?
Watcha.
Are we doing all right?
How many episodes have you listened to so far?
You're all of them.
Oh, have
that's
you?
That's a nice one.
Yeah, all of them.
Which has been
all
your favourite?
Yeah, all of them. I liked the Christmas one, the Chain Gang.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really good. I tell you what I noticed, and I don't know if I might be wrong. In the first few, you was using actual clips from the show. Are you not doing that now?
God, it's lazy. I'm Tom speaking, by the way.
I'm
usually responsible for recording them, but I've got to do it separately, and I just haven't got around to doing it. So.
Oh no, I just wondered if the BBC.
You are right, though.
No, like I didn't know.
That's a bit of feedback, so we'll do more clips of the show.
I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you another little thing that crossed my path two Christmases ago. I got a taxi home from the pub, and the cab driver was Mickey Pearce. Patrick
Murray. Oh,
that's amazing,
isn't he?
Yeah.
That's
brilliant.
It was amazing, because it was Christmas, so it was late, and I got in the back, and he just said, "Where to?" And it was just the voice.
Where to, love?
And I went... You're Mickey Pearce, ain't you? And he laughed, and he went, "Yeah." And he was trying to get his wife over from Thailand.
Yes, yeah.
Wife now.
Tom spoke to him on the phone a few times, like
once. I spoke to him once. Yeah, I was running the
Night night, Dan. Love you.
No, it was the Mickey Pierce parody account, and his Patrick Murray's son got hold of me, and he said, "Oh, well, you can speak to my dad if you want." And he rang me. So that was quite a few years ago now.
He was quite happy. I don't know how well he is. I'm not too sure.
Oh, I think he's much better though.
He was quite chatty in that, but
yeah. I think he's on the mend.
We had a nice little chat with him.
Yeah, he was cool. Yeah, he was cool. I think he's done a stint in Benidorm now, I think, as well.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, but he was doing some radio show out there, wasn't he? I think John Chalice tweeted.
He was doing some local. I'll tell you what was interesting. He was saying that he doesn't get anything. He only gets royalties when it's on the BBC, which it's not really on there anymore.
Yeah, it's gold, isn't it, now?
Yeah.
All right.
And apparently the cast members like him, I'm presuming Jevon and stuff like that, they don't get anything.
Yeah.
Only obviously the bigger guys. I sort of presumed. I said, look, it's on all the time. You must all do okay. And he was like, no. I said, no, we don't get any of that.
Did he say if he kept in touch with Stephen Woodcock, Jevon at all?
I didn't ask, but no, I don't. He hasn't really done anything else, has he, Mickey Pierce?
Some Vikingdom or something like that. Some random.
Yeah,
film.
I mean. Jevon was in EastEnders, wasn't he? I don't know if that was pre or before.
I'm not too sure.
Right.
Yeah, it's
not
cool.
Famous for it though.
That's pretty cool. Then it's not every day you get into a cab and there's a Falls and Horses
cab. No, it was a bit unusual. And the cab firm always, when you got the cab coming, they text you the name of the driver. And I always said, please be a Patrick.
Patrick, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Dan, do you ever go to the conventions?
No, do you know what? I've been meaning to go. I was going to try and go this year because they're always around October, aren't they? Is that right?
Yeah.
And if my son's birthday's in October, they nearly always fall on the weekend when I've got a party for him or we're going somewhere. But I want to try and go this year because they look fantastic.
They are really good days out.
Yeah. I think they're doing them twice a year now, like a mini version and a main one. But
ladies and gents, we have Ed versus Dan, the Jolly Boys quiz. The best man win.
Good luck, Dan.
Lovely. Cheers for that.
Good. Right. Question one is for Dan. Dan, how long has it been since Pauline has seen Dal?
12 years or more is the exact words.
That is spot on. That is great start.
1-0 to Dan.
Oh, Ed's looking worried. Yeah?
I am looking worried.
Ed's forehead is sweating.
I can tell Dan's a big fan already.
Right, Ed. Why did Pauline hide Grandad's teeth?
Oh, he's nibbling all day.
Oh, 1-0, look at that.
That's
the first time that anyone's got the first two questions right.
Dan. That was a good start then for
both. Dan, what colour were Dal's slippers?
They're pink, the pink fluffy ones.
Blimey.
2-2.
Days.
Right, pressure's on, Ed.
Whew.
What job did Pauline's mum have, Ed?
What job did Pauline's mum have? I can't think. What scene do they talk about? Oh, you can't tell me, can you?
Leave off.
All right. What was her job?
On the stack of your
We're going to have to hurry you, Ed.
Yeah, come on.
Stab in the dark.
Is she working a funeral company or something?
No, afraid she was a bus conductress.
Bus conductress.
He's got
some C's. Do you know that one? I should have passed that one over.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that, he's been all over, haven't you?
Fans on fire.
What is the name of the bar lady? The barmaid, I should say, in the Nag's Head in this episode.
Is this for me, yeah?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Joycey.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, my days.
Ed, are you ready for question three?
No.
What do Dal, Rodney and Grandad eat for tea at Auntie Rose's?
Oh, they've each had a bath each.
You've got to think of the quote, haven't you? That's how I
That'll be lovely.
That's tricky, Auntie.
Ed's quoting the whole episode, just answering the question.
Quote
all
33 minutes of it, you'll definitely get the answer.
Oh, my brain's gone completely blank.
Dan, do you know the answer?
Yeah, I do, mate, yeah.
Go on.
shepherd's pie.
Oh, look at that. He's
burned. Ed's getting burned. Ed.
Do you want to know what they have for dessert?
Yeah. Oh. He's mugging you right off, Sam.
Kick me while I'm down.
Go on, take him the mouthy git.
Go on. Go on, then.
Oh, apple pie.
He's done it. Ed's sinking into his chair. Right, next question for Dan. Where are Rodney and Grandad planning to stay after Pauline moved in?
They're going to go and set up a business, aren't they?
No, no. Where are Rodney and Grandad planning to stay after Pauline moved in? Just to clarify that question.
Auntie Rose is in Clacton, isn't it?
Look at that. Oh, I thought you were going off to off
then. Sorry, yeah, Auntie Rose is in Clacton. Sorry,
I don't know if I misled you with a question there.
Is that sorry, mate, yeah, I've got
Auntie
you
Auntie Rose, yeah.
Okay. I think Dan's won, hasn't he?
Dan's won.
He smashed it.
But we've still got, Ed, you've still got another two questions.
Just for humiliation.
There is a bonus question as well.
I don't think we need that, James.
Right, Ed, why did Pauline leave Del the first time around?
Really?
Why are you looking at me like that? You look like I'm going to
beat you. Why did she leave the first time round?
Why did Pauline leave Dale the first time round?
Because her husband died. No?
No.
Have you seen it, Ed?
He's making you look a right mug.
Do you know the answer, Dan?
Yeah, mate, yeah.
Go on.
I think so. Is it because she found a bloke with a Fastma Vespa?
Word for word.
Get down!
Tell you what.
Having said that, most teenage marriages back then broke up because the husband didn't like the ollies.
Dan, I think we'd have to get you back on, don't we?
Yeah, you've got to come back on again. Right. We'll find another super fan.
Right, okay. This is for 5 out of 5, Dan. Oh, no.
Go on, mate.
Deep match ball for this one.
What did Rodney ask Dale to get for him from the pub?
Pork scratchy.
Oh, look at that. Come on, that's easy.
Yeah,
that like
one. A pig with fleas.
Right, yeah.
Question 5 for Ed.
Where's
You're
my
playing for pride
scratching?
Now. You're playing for pride.
Well, that's gone. That went a long time ago.
Okay, Ed. Where does Rodney suggest placing the announcement for Dale's engagement?
In the Peckham Echo.
Dan, can I hand it over to you?
Joking.
Is it the Exchange
and
Mark?
Oh my god,
he's
got
yes!
Oh my god! He's completely made you look
Dan, that is incredible, well done. Really good.
Thank you, mate.
Dan,
nice
do you
one.
Want to join us on Sunday evening so
you
can have a podcast?
Have you got a GC in English?
do you know what? It's really, I've been watching it, I'm 38 and I've been watching it since I was about 8 years old. And it's, I really wish I knew more stuff about more things that could earn me a lot more money and do me a lot better, but unfortunately it's only fools and horses that I just seem to know so much about.
Well, Mastermind, that'd be your topic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, when yeah, great. Mastermind. I mean, if there are any fans out there, any super fans, as you said, that want to get me back on, I'm quite
challenge.
Willing to
absolutely challenge to Dan's taking the crown now. He smashed it.
I thought I called myself a fan, but clearly I'm nowhere near your caliber.
Shut this podcast down now.
My girlfriend did these questions earlier and I got about 3 out of 10.
Oh, that makes me feel a little bit better. Thank you.
Right, do you want the bonus question, Dan?
Yeah, cool, mate, let's try, shall we?
What year did Auntie Rose say to Grandad they could come down any time?
I know the answer.
Oh my god.
1947, isn't it?
That is a mic drop.
That is incredible.
That is insane.
Clean sweep. Well done, Dan.
Yeah, that lovely. No, brilliant.
Oh, Dan, we've got to get you on next time, that's right. And someone.
Yeah, mate, I've saved,
some,
I've saved
another
number.
Member of the.
So you can go up against Tom, I think. Tom
yeah,
is,
I tell you what, I'd be happy to write some more questions so you can face Jolly Boy Tom Dan and see how you get on.
Yeah, great.
We are bringing out the big guns.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
oh, that's
lovely.
Entertaining. Well, thanks for calling in anyway, Dan.
Oh, Dan, have you got...
No, keep it.
Do you do an impression of any characters or any quotes or anything?
I don't, mate. No,
come
I don't.
On. We've got to have one quote from you.
A quote. I was really hoping you were going to ask me the favourite episodes and stuff like that.
Okay. I was going to ask you after. You've got to do a quote first.
My favourite episode is a bit of a random one, which doesn't have any stage fright.
Okay.
Because
Angelina.
I was saying to someone, because with the Trotters, what's amazing is that you're always waiting for something to go wrong for them. Mm. And in that episode, I couldn't quite see what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he starts singing, and you think, he's all right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that drops. And I just think, you know, aside from falling through the bar and the chandelier, I think that is the funniest moment on there.
Is a brilliant moment. I think it's quite overlooked, isn't it?
There's so many of them on there, aren't there? But, I know what you mean. That is a good one. I can remember watching that for the first time when I was about 8 or 9 as well.
When we spoke about Chain Gang, we were talking about the rare times that they always come out on top, and it's not always predictable that they're going to lose out. But even in Stage Fright, he eventually wins, doesn't he? Because he wants to get more bookings, doesn't he? That's a great episode. Yeah. Can you do an impersonation of any of your favourite lines in the show? Putting you on the spot again, I know.
This is a real quiz.
I mean, everyone does a voice, isn't they?
Go on.
Last cognac, please, Michael.
Very good.
Daniel, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you on, but we will definitely have you back.
Yes, great.
All right, we'll be in touch.
All the best, chaps.
Cheers, Daniel.
Take care,
buddy.
Take care.
See you, mate. Bye.
Scores out of 10 for that one, then. Let me give you mine. Let me just get out of the way. I will give that a 4 out of 10.
Really? That's
low.
That is low. Only Fours and Horses.
Ouch.
4 out of 10.
Yeah, 4 out of 10.
4?
4 doesn't mean...
You're pulling my leg.
Not when in a corner shop, Tom.
4 out of 10, yeah. When I think of some of my favourites, 9s and 10s.
He's bugging the poor man.
It's a long way off from being... But if I said 1, you'd be gobsmacked.
1?
What's your score, Ed?
6.5. Yeah.
Jim, what's yours?
Mine, I'm going to go 7.9.
Are you serious?
Honestly, it's close to an 8.
Yeah, close.
That's up there with Chain Gang.
It's good.
It's all relative, and I think in Series 1... That is a high.
Sorry, James, what score did you say you give that episode?
7.9.
You're pulling my leg!
What's your score, Bailey?
7.
7.
I do like it. It's not one of my favourites, but I think it's got a strong story, and there's a lot of chemistry going on with the characters. So it's a 7 from me.
No, I stick with my 4.
Okay. I still think that's Albert Steptoe, you know, at the start.
Yeah, you're obsessed with this, Ed.
Well, I hope you've all enjoyed that episode. We've covered quite a lot, haven't we? We've been quite extensive in talking about this, that and the other. So give yourself time to digest it. If you've got any questions or any feedback, please get hold of us, and we'd be more than happy to chat with you.
You guys might know something about that episode that we don't.
But I want to say thanks to Andre, thanks to Dan, and thank you everyone for listening.
Yes.
Thank you.
If any of you guys want to follow Andre Barnard on Twitter, her handle is @Andre_Barnard. Or you can follow the Jolly Boys on Facebook by typing in the Jolly Boys podcast. Or you can find us on Twitter by the handle @OFA_podcasts. Or you can get in contact with us the old-fashioned way by sending us an email. And the email is theofapodcasts@gmail.com. We'd love to hear feedback and comments from you guys.
What's our Instagram handle, Ed?
I'm so glad you asked, Tom. It's only_fools_horses_
Or you can write to us at Bailey's House.
PO Box 111111.
Jolly Boys House.
The next episode we're going to be talking about is Slow Buster Chingford.
And I like that one.
And make sure you get in touch with us over Twitter or Facebook if you want to partake in the quiz.
As we mentioned previously, we're hoping to do our next Jolly Boys podcast as a Facebook Live, which would be a really exciting one for us. So we'd love for all of you guys to tune in and to ask us questions and interact and just chat with us whilst we're discussing our next episode.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yeah, it's me. Lennox Gilby!
We got some half price crack dice and miles of carpet tiles, TVs, deep freezing, David Bowie LPs, ball games, gold chains, what's her names, and Ella Bruce, some Trevor Francis track scenes from a Merchant Shepherd's Bush.